Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. This show is an invitation to let go of what's holding you down, laugh more, and love like crazy. If you've tuned in live to this episode, please call in now and be a part of the show. Our number is area code 646-200-0825. And now our hostesses, Jen and Sherry.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Lighten Up. I am Jen Halterman, one of your hostesses, and Sherry Gillum will be joining us very shortly. Welcome to the show. Wow, what a great week this is doing relationship shows. And as yesterday's show was very, very, wow, it was a good show. It was very full of conversation and interaction with the audience. And many of you interacted directly during the show and some of you afterwards, and I want to say thank you for that, because when you respond, it lets us know if the show is on track, it lets us know if it's of service, it lets us know what else needs more exploration and understanding. And so the energy of attraction in relationships was yesterday, and today we're talking about the sparkle and the drama, and it's in our energy of attraction. It's in our relationships. It shows up in so many different ways that there, you know, this could just go on and on. It's like the song that never ends. It just goes on and on, my friends. We could talk about this forever, except for I'd get really bored and tired of the topic, so I'm not going to. But today we are, because after yesterday's show, I'm so excited to have Sherry with me to join in the conversation, to be able to explore this topic more and the understandings that came up and how this impacts us directly. And so as we get into this show, if you want to listen on the phone lines for any reason, if you got to run an errand, whatever, you got to leave your computer and you want to listen on the phone lines so you're not burning data, why not, right? Get on the phone line, 646-200-0825. And you don't have to speak to us if you get on the phone lines. You just can listen, and there's many available, so you're not going to clog it up. I'm really official today. Clog it up. That's what we call the phone lines. Oh, my goodness. It's one of those days that amped up pretty steadily this morning, and it just keeps going on and on. So I'm going to bring Sherry on here so we can get into this topic, because there is a lot to talk about. Welcome to the air, Sherry.
Thank you, Jenny. Hi. Hi, everybody. Happy to be back today. Great show yesterday. Wow. So I'm excited to be here and go forth and conquer, so to speak, and die.
go forth and conquer.
I'm ready to,
oh, my gosh, that's great.
Yeah, I'm ready to ring doorbells, ding dong, and run. Who wants to play today?
Oh, boy. This ought to be really good. Okay, so first things first, I want to give a little bit of some definitions, just in case somebody hasn't listened to the other shows. And for those of you who have listened to the other shows, don't turn your ears off. Because what came through as a way to express this today is a little bit different, and so you might hear something different, it might resonate different. So don't go away just because I'm talking about something you might have heard. You know me, I'm going to say it a million different ways so that it can resonate. So first thing I want to do is I want to talk about our aliveness. And our aliveness, as I just define it in so many ways, is it is a combination of our physicality with all of the attributes, the physical, the emotional, our intellect, all of that combined. And that is combined with our soul, our energy, our vibration, all of it. And so when I talk about the aliveness, it is when all of that is expressed through, when it's not muted, when it's not dulled down. That is aliveness. And we can have different levels of aliveness. Sometimes it's a low hum. Sometimes it is really loud. Sometimes it's really expressed in sparkly bits, as I said yesterday. And it just comes in different layers. And one of the things that I have found, people have said, well, if you're in your aliveness, are you good to go? And so I wanted to clarify that you can be in your aliveness 1%. You could be in your aliveness 100%. And that spectrum is everything in between. So there are different levels, okay? I can be in my aliveness sitting in my pajamas drinking coffee in the morning, and I can be in my aliveness out with the girls at wine club. There isn't a right or wrong. There isn't a category that makes it better than. Just simply that there are many different levels, and it is up to you to know if you are in it, if you're in alignment or not. It is up to you to know if you're in that flow, if everything's going or not. And one of the ways for you to know this is your power and potency. And what that means is power is just the expression of everything you're able to do, and has nothing to do with being powerful over anybody else. It's just you making your impact in the world. Potency. Don't dull yourself. Don't dim yourself down. Okay? So when you have, when you are going out into the world in any manner, as a wife, as, you know, as a father, as a healer, as a business person, it does not matter. If you don't turn yourself down and you show up to make the full impact that you can possibly make that is honoring of yourself, which means you hold yourself in high regard, but also honoring of everybody else. You hold everybody in high regard. You, that amps up your aliveness, okay? So those things are all, they're facets of this diamond of your aliveness. So then, we're talking about drama on the show. And I wanted to clarify something because there's a little confusion about, oh, drama is bad, drama is this, da, 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 da. And drama is just a messenger, and I'm going to explain to you why. So drama comes in when we are out of alignment and our power and potency is going through a filter. Okay, notice it's the same power and potency. It's just going through a filter of fear, anger, sadness. And your limiting self-beliefs are seeking validation. And so you go into the enrollment process of enrolling others to play out this fear, anger, sadness, and seeking validation dance. That's why drama is the zone of I am right, and you will do whatever it takes to be right, whether you're right that you suck or you're right that you, you know, are the most amazing human being on the planet. It doesn't matter what that right is. It's just, I am right, and you'll do whatever it takes to have that validated. How does that sound, Sherry? Does that help bring some clarity?
Yeah, I think it's really, really good, because as we continue to talk about this, the dynamics of that, you'll get a bit, you'll paint a clearer picture. Okay, here's the definition. This is what it looks like, because it's so true. Whether it's we are in our aliveness, and that attracts others to us, because we it's like those calling cards that you talked about. It pings them. It's like a ping. It's like one of those cell towers. It pings. And the drama you're going to attract, if you are in drama or 1% out of your alignment and your or 10%, however much, and you step into drama, and drama can be a good thing in a way that it brings your awareness to the situation, but it's going to ping it. You'll attract it. Or if you're not looking at some aspect of drama in yourself, you're going to attract it anyway. It's like you're not seeking it, but you're going to attract aspects of it so that it brings it to you, hopefully brings it to your awareness.
Yes. Absolutely. And that's kind of part of why I wanted to get clear on this, because judgment creates separation. Putting something in a container of all bad or all good creates separation. And we don't get to learn from it then. If we're in conclusion, it can't teach us. It can't inform us. And so when we get into drama, a lot of things, and it goes through many different names and many different perspectives about this, but we have victim, villains, and heroes that play out in the drama. It doesn't matter what you call them. You can call it the instigator, the antagonist. You can call, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter what label. But if you engage in that, it's just a sign that something's off. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It is just a sign that something is off. So one of the things you can do for yourself, if you're wondering, because I did, I heard from some who were like, what do I do? Now I'm aware of something. What do I do? What's step one? And I admire those conversations. I admire that bravery. I admire that showing up so much, because it takes a lot to raise our hand and say, I'm kind of in a pile of poo. I knew I wasn't very happy, but now I realize I actually kind of stink. What do? I mean, that takes bravery. That has some guts. You know, that courage of doing something when you're in the midst of discomfort, that is courageous to take that action, to take that step forward. Okay? So I admire you and I appreciate you showing up. Go ahead.
And when you do take that step, I'm just replaying your show yesterday. One of your callers and you were asking questions with them, and or one of your, I don't know, chat room, whoever you were talking to,
Facebook chatter, yeah,
you know, yeah. So the chatterbox. We'll just throw them all in there in the chatterbox room. That person just like stepped into it, and you know. Oh, I get a little emotional because I was like, wow, how brave that she just, like, she stepped in and sought support, and she took a step closer into her aliveness, because she knew what wasn't, something was off back there, and she took the first step. I'm like, wow, that is just incredibly cool.
It is. Yeah, and for those of you who are listening, if you recognize that, do you remember your first step? I just want, what I'm doing is I'm wanting you to tap into, what was your first step? That first step towards self-awareness, the first step towards reclaiming your aliveness, reclaiming your essence. Just feel it. Let that feeling come up in your body of that first step. Do you remember when you took that first step? What does it feel like? Oh, scared. Oh, my gosh, my hands are sweating, my palms. Oh, I'm tingly all over. I just remember feeling kind of like a deer in the headlights. I didn't know what was going on. Notice all the sensations in your body, that first step into self-awareness, okay? Now, say thank you to yourself. Because just like that person that was chatting it up with me while I was on the show, and just like the phone calls, and just like everybody else who might be terrified in their first step, I want you to take this moment to say, oh, I'm so glad you took that first step. Because so often we are so terrified when we are in that space of taking that first step. We can be desperate. We can be angry. We can be a mess. And we are so set on survival, and we are so afraid of letting go that we just push and keep going. And this is your opportunity. You know, put your hands on your heart and just say, thank you, thank you, thank you. That makes me emotional. Yeah. For myself personally, to thank myself for taking that first step all those years ago from this place, of being on the radio, is like, whoa, Jenny, look what you did. Look what you've done since then. And my invitation is, if it's one step, or if you've taken 10 or a million, I don't have any, it does not matter to me how many. I want to acknowledge the first step. That your aliveness thanks you. And will you receive that thanks? I just wanted to take a minute for that. So many emotions, so much tenderness when I check in with that. Yeah. Mm. Awesome. Beautiful. Mm. Thank you.
Mm. That's awesome. Thank you for doing that. That was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Mm.
Yeah. So please be aware if you are in judgment of, well, I haven't gone very far. I'm just beginning. I'm not as far as you, da, da, da. That is just that comparison voice. It's an old habit, and it'll simmer down the more and more you just say, oh, no, you don't belong in this conversation. No, judgment and comparison doesn't belong here. This is a judgment-free zone. And so as you're going through this and you go, oh, wow, what's going on? Why did I attract drama? Why do I dim down when my sparkly bits were so bright? when we go into this awareness, if we go into it with judgment, we are setting ourselves up to make ourselves wrong for whatever was. If we go into it with, well, I wonder what happened there, and curiosity, it will reveal itself as to what happened. So just know that the energy that you look at this from will affect what it reveals. And that sounds a little, it's a little magical. It's a little woo. Not going to deny it. Yeah, woo, because it is. It is woo.
Yeah. It is. And I want to just tag on to that. You know, if that's your safety net, if you're going to go back into your comparison, is that a safety net for you? How about you remove the safety net? Do you know what I'm trying to say? It's like you just said, okay, if you're going into comparison, that place, well, I didn't do it, blah, blah, chicken. I didn't do it this way. I didn't do it this way and da-da-da. But the fact is you're doing it. Are you that nervous chatter? And I guess I'm saying this because I have done this, so that's why I'm recognizing it. And I want to speak to that part of those people that maybe have done something like that as well. Is it that self-chatter, well, I didn't do it, that all that comparison, just take a breath, breathe into your body, start stretching those muscles of self-trust and your own self-esteem, and okay, what else is possible? You know, what did I do? Look at, you know, focus on what you did do. And, you know, right, like Jenny says, you know, take a minute, put your hand on your heart. Wow, I did that. I stepped into that. Wow, I'm not back there. And just leave that back there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is pretty big because I want to, I talked about being our six-year-old selves, and I think there is a space of some, almost like, okay, so that is bad. Like there's an assumed judgment, but I want to acknowledge that. I want to speak to that because when I was saying yesterday, you know, if your energy, if you're coming at your adult partner with the energy of a needy 10-year-old that isn't getting attention from their parent, that adult partner, if they are in their adult self, they're going to be like, what in the hell? I am not your mom or dad. It's not, what is going on? It's not sexy. It's very repelling. And it can be a turnoff. And yet, quite honestly, if you are in your 10-year-old self and you're like, I feel so insecure right now. And this is something Sherry and I do, and it's something that I teach. But if you go to somebody and say, my 10-year-old is really a mess right now, will your 10-year-old talk to my 10-year-old? Because my 10-year-old is not going to tell the truth to an adult. So don't judge it as always bad, because the truth is Sherry and I have conversations of all of our parts and all of our age zones with each other. Because, we are so six right now. Like, we will say that because we're not afraid of it. We don't have judgment on it. And so we'll actually, like, if her younger self, if her, like, six-year-old, for example, shows up with me and walks in and is super cute, usually I go, oh, hi. And I'm very curious. Why? Because why? Just think about it. Six-year-old shows up. What is that energy? Usually it's very curious. It can be playful, it can be young, it can be small. How would you respond to it so that it felt safe? How would you respond to it so that it felt like it could share with you as to why it's there?
Mm-hmm.
Because when I turn to Sherry and I say, I need bubblegum ice cream today, and she smiles and says, okay, Jenny, she knows. We've done this enough times that she knows that I'm tired of the adult world. I'm tired of having to do the grown-up stuff, and I need nonsense, and I need play now. And bubblegum ice cream is a craving that comes up that tells me that. Now, if I want to judge that, say, that's so stupid, and you're crazy, and da-da-da, I could do that. Or you could listen to the message of that and go, Yeah, we've been adulting a lot lately, and we're tired. Let's go engage with nonsense. It's up to you what you do with it. Totally up to you.
That makes me smile, because I know there was one time last spring or summer that we drove I don't know how many places to find bubblegum ice cream, and finally I'm like, when do you get this stuff in? And you know, when is this coming in? Because we need it now, and it can't be anything else but bubblegum ice cream. You know, as a six-year-old, right. You do know what you will. You know, six-year-olds are fun because they will tell you, I don't want any ice cream. I want bubblegum ice cream.
Yeah, right. And the other thing is, and when you said last spring, it reminded me when we were looking for this house, and we talked about the process and how stressful it was and how we magically created it, but there was a day when the energy of rejection was starting to creep into our vibration, and we felt defeated, and we were scared about, I don't know where the hell we're going to live. Like, we don't know what's going on. And you turned to me and said, come on, I know where we're going to go. And I was like, you do? Wait. And, you know, of course, my little desperate, I don't want to be homeless self was saying, wait, you know where we're going to go? And we ended up pulling into a park, and we got out, and we went over, and we got on the swing set, and we swung. We got on the swings.
Yeah, we did.
Just kicked and swang. Is it swing or swang? I don't know what the hell to say there.
Swung? Did we swung?
Swung. We swung. Hey,
where were
you on the grammar Nazis? We were swinging.
Swinging. We did, and you know, we giggled and we laughed and we laughed it away, you know.
Yeah.
And that's such a good example of, you know, when you move out of alignment, we were both out of alignment. We felt, and we're pretty positive people for the most part. And we were out of our alignment of our essence and our aliveness. And it's like, okay. And, you know, the universe gave me that thought. It's like, we're going to go here. This is what we're going to do. Let's go.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And that's the choice. And yet, let me explain, if we chose drama in that situation, that can look like, I feel scared, I'm going to enroll somebody to play out the scared with me. I'm going to pick a fight, I'm going to criticize driving, I'm going to, you know, make it your fault, you're going to make it my fault, da, 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 da. And we choose into the drama, but it's a choice. Because that drama is that enrollment. So instead, you did in that moment. You chose your clarity, and you chose some of our essence qualities that we resonate with. We both have the calling sign of play and youthful curiosity. And so you chose to ignite that by saying, come on, we're going to go swing. That, and guess what? My calling sign got all lit up. Like, yes. And together, what it did was it reinvigorated our aliveness, our vibrancy, our sparkle turned on. Because we said to the fear, you're not right. We're going to choose play. And it changed our entire vibration. It truly did. It changed our aliveness. So when we're talking about this and that the drama enlists us and enrolls us, please understand if you are experiencing a lot of drama, if you are witnessing a lot of drama, instead of going to a judgment of what an asshat or, God, look at that behavior that they're doing. Yes, I know I call people asshats too, but I'm just saying. My higher self doesn't.
I love it.
But instead of focusing on their behavior, instead if you can say, wow, that's a lot of drama. That is a lot of power and potency right there going sideways. And enlisting people because it's scared, or it's angry, or it's sad. And if you can see it from that perspective, you have the opportunity to get really curious about, oh, I wonder what's going on there. I wonder what's going on there. As you get curious, I wonder what's going on there, you might have a conversation available to you that says, hey, what you doing? Instead of, what in the hell are you doing now? You know? How would you speak to that person who's scared? How would you speak to the person who's angry? Quite honestly, Sherry and I, we get into our drama. We do. We do stuff where we show up in our anger and fear and sadness, and we do express it sideways. And it's always, 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 always what gets us heading back in is in that alignment is when we allow ourselves to express. It's not about shutting it down. It's not about denying your emotions. But we get in more curiosity than judgment. When we're in judgment, if we can ask one question, and then the judgment goes down one question worth, and then we ask another question, and judgment goes down, it's a little tipping scale. And if you can increase your curiosity to the point that the judgment simmers down, you're at a tipping point, and now there's true exploration to share together. Does that make sense? That's a pretty good visual, but...
Yeah, it is. It's very, you know, it is. When you were talking, I just saw, like, you know, a teeter-totter, because I'm in play mind, right? So, you know,
yeah.
When two people are on a teeter-totter and finding that, okay, one's real, real high, oh, wait, let's ask a question and bring it down, where you're right in balance. It's, you're looking straight across from one another.
Yeah.
It's not tipping one way or the other.
Right. You just get to be where you are with each other. Like, I love, and I'll be honest, here's one of the things that I think people don't understand in attraction. Is in attraction, this bullshit about perfection, okay? I know those of you who love when I swear, there's a reason you put in earbuds today.
I love it.
Oh, gosh. So this, when perfection comes in and we're trying to be perfect and we think somebody's attracted to us because we're perfect, okay, we're setting ourselves up for inauthenticity. Because there's going to be a day when you're a mess. What are you going to do then? Pretend you're not a mess?
Mm-hmm.
Or make it their fault for expecting you to be perfect because you set them up to. I'm just saying, okay? And so when we do that, when we get into that perfection, that's not what attraction is based on. Attraction on a soul level is not about your physical appearance. You can find each other attractive. Yeah, and looks fade. And if that's all your relationship is based on, do not invest long-term in that relationship. No, this is based on how I look until I don't look this way, and then we'll redecide if we're going to choose back in together. Because otherwise, you're setting yourself up for misery of trying to maintain that perfection at that age, at that stage of your physical experience, all of it. And it's a setup, guys. That is like doom for failure right there. So instead, one of the sexiest things, actually, honestly, and I'm talking sexy like attractive sexy, not like I want to get naked and put our body parts together. But one I think is very sexy. I think aliveness is very sexy. Because it gets my attention. That's what I'm saying, okay? Is when somebody has the guts to show up and say, I am a freaking mess. I'm angry. I want to have a tantrum. I'll be like, yes, okay. I'll support you having a tantrum. What do you need? Do you need me to throw a ball at you and you can bat it away? Like, I'm all about that. I love that. When somebody shows up, it's like, I am an emotional mess. I really need to cry. Come here. What do you need? Do you need to be held? Do you need space? Do you need to go for a walk? What do you want? What do you need? Do you need a glass of wine? to me, that is attractive. I want that in my friends. I want that in my, you know, in my family. Any relationship where you are in the inner circle of my trusted core support, I want that there. In fact, I have a friend who... she came to me and she's like, you know, I'm not into all that self-help stuff. For some of you, you're going to laugh really hard at this. I'm not into all that stuff. I'm like, okay. She goes, so can we be friends? And I was like, what? Well, I just know that some people are like, no, if you're not into what I'm into, I can't be your friend. I was kind of laughing like, well,
that's really crappy of them. I'm so sorry that people act that way. And I said, no, actually, you choose not to explore consciousness. You choose not to do like, you don't want to do your, quote, work. You're like, hey, I'm just heading for death. I just want to, you know, do whatever it is that I want to do. I have no desire for self-improvement. Well, at least you acknowledge this. And I'm like, yeah, we can be friends. We can totally be friends. Sure, you don't want to do your work? Guess what? All right, that's who you are. But I think it's attractive when people are honest about it. In fact, Sherry, you and I had a talk when I said to you, hey, if you don't want to do this, just say so. But don't say you do it, you want to do it, and then not do it, because that's where I get uncomfortable and start asking questions, and you feel like you're not doing good enough. Like, if you're just not going to do it, just say, I'm not doing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's very true. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was true for me at that time.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah, and what people don't understand is when you say, oh, no, I'm totally into that. Okay, great. And then you don't follow through. You do know that you're being deceitful, right? Like, you do know that in that you're setting them up to say, I'm going to lie to your face. I'm going to say one thing, totally don't mean it. You do realize that you are intentionally lying to them when you say that. And even if you're like, well, I didn't know I was lying at the time. Okay, great. If you didn't know you were lying at the time, as soon as you knew you were lying, did you change it? Or were you afraid of disappointing them and letting them down, and so you kept it as kind of like a shame secret?
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Juicy.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know, when we're talking about the facets of this diamond and what's sparkly, what's not, you can say, yeah, I'm totally going to do that. Yeah, I'm all into that. That's really awesome. And as long as you believe that you're totally going to do that, you'll stay sparkly. The moment that you go, oh, shit, I don't like this. Nope. Uh-oh. I actually don't think I like this. That's when it goes dull. That's when the sparkle goes dull. Because once you start faking it, faking anything, pretending, your sparkle knows you're full of shit. So it says, okay, we're going to dull you down now because you're not being authentic. Where instead, if you go, uh-oh, I actually don't enjoy this. I don't like this. If you will step forward and say, hey, guess what? This has changed. I don't enjoy this. I don't want to do this. I'm going to go ahead and not do this. That sparkle stays in place because you're being authentic.
Yep.
So every time that you dishonor yourself by not being authentic, you dull your shine. That means when you say yes, when you really mean no, you're dulling your sparkle. Your shine is getting dim. That means when you say no and you mean it, even if somebody's uncomfortable, you're shiny. And that's the attractive. That's what's attractive. That's what keeps us drawn together. That's what lets us know who our playmates are. Because really, quite honestly, and this is something for you to check in with yourself, because I think we all do this on a natural level, is if you are, say your sparkle, the part of your facet, the part of your essence that's really lit up is about creativity. And maybe your form of creativity is music, okay? If you say, I want to play with more people who have music, okay? Your calling sign, like I talked about just vibrationally what I see, your calling sign sends out a vibration to people about, hey, musicians, I want to play. Do you want to play? And what can happen is other people who have shiny calling signs of music say, oh, yeah, I like to play with you. Yeah, okay, we'll get together, da, da, da. But also it awakens other people who maybe their calling sign of music has been shut down for a while. It's a little dusty, a little dull. You put all those people in a space, you will know in a heartbeat who is not in alignment with that vibration. You will know it. You'll experience it. It'll be very evident who
Like, some people use music as an ego thing. Some people use music as a way to fit in. Some people use music because it's their essence expressing through them. You will know the difference instantaneously. And you get to decide. You get to say, thanks for showing up with your music. I love playing with you. Or, thank you for bringing your music. I don't think we're a match. But it's the authenticity of what is true for you that keeps that your aliveness vibrant. It really is.
That's true. Wow, yeah. I really felt that one too. Because that is true. I mean, I just have to acknowledge something right now. I'm going to gush warning. I just love all the examples you get, because I didn't even think of that, and it triggered an instance where in our music where that happened and has happened to me in the past. And it's like, it's simple, you know, it's any kind of relationship. And, you know, just be mindful. And you're so right. I love all of your examples, because when you give examples, Jenny, I look back, you know, I have a movie screen in front of this beautiful painting that you painted for me in my office. And it's like my TV of my life. And I'm like, it's like, she's talking about this here and this. And I'm sure the listeners are doing that too. I just really appreciate, and I'm full of gratitude for, you know, how you take this big concept and keep funneling it and another. And like you started the show out saying, you know, you might have heard this before, but I might say it differently. You do. And I just really appreciate that. So thank you for yet again another example.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah, I do see in metaphors, and I am really thankful that I have a platform I can keep sharing to keep us all fresh. It keeps me fresh as well. And so thank you for that. I love that.
You're welcome.
You know, one thing I do want to talk about is this drama thing. Yesterday on the show when I talked about adrenaline-based drama, adrenaline. I think I need a list of new words. That drama is based on adrenaline. It's where we get our fix. And, you know, for some people, they love that. They love it. They get off on it. Like, they love a good fight because they want the makeup sex. They love it.
Mm-hmm.
Not mine to judge. That's theirs. If you don't like it, don't be in a relationship for those fights and awesome sex that they like. Like, don't do it. But if somebody loves that, I just want to say, do it all the way. Like, good for you. Rock that. Because, you know, there's a country song that you and I like. Terry Clark sings it about If You Want Fire. And in that song, the words say that if you want fire, it better be worth the burn. If you want fire, if you want that fiery passion, you have to acknowledge, you cannot be in denial about the burn that comes with that. You have to be really in acknowledgement of, hey, guess what? There's going to be some burn. You can't, you know, you're going to hold a sparkly, good God. You're gonna.
This is getting better. I'm so glad I've got note takers to pay attention to my words.
Sparklies. If you're gonna hold a sparkler that has all those little sparks flying from it, but you're gonna be freaked out. Okay, think about a child. They want a sparkler so bad. I want one. I want one. I want one. Then they hold on to the end of the stick, and the little sparks are flying, and they touch their hand, and they instantly want to drop it. Run away, but then they want it back, and they, wait, I want it, but I don't want the little zap on me. I want to experience it, but I don't want to, do you know that conflict?
Are you familiar with that? I'm pretty sure most people are familiar with sparklers. So I don't know that I'm using a metaphor people won't understand. And so what a lot of times people do is they'll create a shield for the child's arm, make sure an adult's around, da-da-da. The child gets to go, yay, okay, this is cool now. Well, that's what it's like when you're in relationship, too. If you're in relationship and you're like, ugh, bad boy, I love this. Oh, yeah, he's so tough and manly in his leathers. Oh, my God, I just love it. Rev that Harley. Why the hell is he beating me? Like, he goes out, he fights at the, you know, he goes out with his gangster buddies. They get in bar room brawls. He's always in jail. He's so sexy, turns me on. I can't believe he smacked me. Like, who's fooling who here, honey? You got to know what you're in. You got to know. If you want that drama, you want it all. And that's where this choice point comes. Like, there are people, many people, thousands, probably millions of people that love the bad boy and also love the fight. They love it. Okay, it's not my business why they love it, unless they're coming to me for coaching. But it is what's there. And so really to consider that, like, it is a total message. It's a messenger. It is a gift to us if we'll pay attention. Because sometimes good drama is just fun. You know, it's just fun, like, get in there and be a drama queen. But if you're saying, I don't like all this drama, why am I such a drama queen? You might want to look at where you're not expressing your power and potency in an authentic way. Because if you did, mm-hmm. and you took it out of the drama, you know, dance of drama, oh, imagine the impact you could have. Imagine the ripples you'd create in the world if you quit creating drama with your bank account or with your friend or with your mother. Imagine all of that energy that's going into trying to be the right one in that drama dance, that adrenaline situation. Imagine
drama-ling.
What that could do if you transferred it over to, say, your creativity or your health. If you said, God, I've got so much passion in this fight, where does that passion actually belong? It might belong out, you know, going to Zumba class. But you get to choose. You get to choose. So what do you choose? What do you choose? As you're listening to this show, what do you choose? What have you chosen? What are you in denial about what you're choosing? Because the truth is, your results, what's coming up, is it's showing up in everything that you're expressing, how you're showing up, what you're acting out. It's showing up in your words, showing up in your actions. All of it is showing up. The victim, villain, hero, it's just a sign that something's off. You can focus on the words and the actions of the victim, villain, and hero, or you can see underneath it and seek that understanding of what's out of alignment here. That's the choice we have. So if you're somebody who says, boy, my sparkly bits are kind of dusty and dull here, I got to polish them up, the quickest way is to get out of judgment and get into curiosity. What about this is... Are you not understanding? What about this is right? What about this is going to serve your aliveness? What about this is an expression of your power and potency? It is up to you. We're all making choices, right? Every minute.
Absolutely.
So tell me your thoughts on this. I could do this also properly. I could ask you a question of, gee, Sherry, have you ever gone from drama to aliveness? And I know I'm so funny. So instead, I'm just going to say, how did you do the transition?
um,
know, it was it was a process, drama from transition, and I I don't do it right out of drama every time, but I'm certainly way way more aware of it than I used to be, and you know. I met you 4 years ago. I think this is one of my big steps out of drama. I met you 4 years ago, and there you saw something in me that I thought I had hidden. I think you said, you probably say this better, but that I had pushed down, which was my aliveness and my playfulness. And I think you said this morning I was playing hide and seek with it, and I thought we were playing. And I met you, and you're like, hey, you know, I was going through, I had a lot of drama in my life, way, way lot of drama. And you did some, you helped me remember my essence. You did some essence work with me. And it totally cracked me wide open. And not to say, you know, I took 10 steps forward and, you know, probably 15 to 20 or maybe 50 backwards. But it was the first step. And as I continued to be and put myself back into that drama, the next time I stepped out, and the dogs are also talking as well. It became more and more evident. You know, I could recognize it. And, you know, it was my own process. But that first step out into me and my own self-expression and claiming what I had buried, it was crazy fun. You know, the aliveness and remembering that, it was just so natural. It was just so, thinking back and seeing all the things that you had, it was my own words, you know, how do I describe myself? I was seeing myself. So much so that you know, I think I've said this on the show before. I put them all over. I lived in an apartment, and I had this great big wall. And my whole living room had construction paper with all my words. All of me surrounded me. And I needed that as a constant reminder, 'cause it was a really low place. And it was a low place at the time of my life. And it kept reminding me to step out and to step out and to step out. And it was very powerful as well. Very powerful to recognize, wow, I covered these things up. And, you know, yeah. I got more and more and clear. It didn't happen overnight. I can't remember how I said it to you this morning. Is, you know, we saw each other as shiny, and I started coming out of my shell, and we went and played, and we're great friends. And you know, when we reconnected years later, it was me being, you weren't pulling, it wasn't you were pulling out. I recognized it when I met you face to face. The next time I saw you, I was standing in my aliveness. And I got, you showed me the road, but I stepped into it.
Right. Yeah, aliveness is a very personal decision. To choose into your aliveness, you can have a partner, you can have a friend, you can have a coach that supports you in discovering it and encourages you and all of it, and it comes down to a personal decision. And a lot of times what I say to people is, who are you when nobody's around? Are you in your aliveness? Check there first. Then, when you go out with the closest people, start just, you know, people in your life that you see every day. Doesn't matter if it's your family, your partner, your friends, whatever. Then go out. Do you stay in your aliveness, or do you start adjusting to according to them? Go out in public, strangers. Are you able to stay in your authentic aliveness? Does your power and potency stay with you, or do you start adjusting according to the comfort levels of other people and what they can handle?
That's because once you become aware of how other people are responding to you, a lot of times what we do is we go, oh, somebody out there is uncomfortable. I better adjust myself so they can be comfortable. And that's an old pattern. And so once you go out and you go, I'm not going to pay attention to if they're comfortable or not. I'm going to pay attention to, am I managing myself? Am I adjusting myself? Do I go to the movie theater and do I notice the moment that I laugh out loud, do I notice if somebody around me is comfortable with my laughter or do I stay in what I think is funny that I'm laughing about? That right there lets you know what your aliveness is based on. Is it based on other people or you? Are you dulling your shine because somebody else is getting a glint in their eye and it annoys them? We have a lot of conversations about this, and it's come to our attention that we are, quote, too much for many people. We laugh too loud. We play too much. We're on Facebook too much. We're visible too much. We share too much. Our wedding's going to be too much fun. And and it really bothers people. And if we are going to adjust ourselves according to their scale of too much, they are actually creating our experiences of life. We're letting them. We're saying, oh, you're not comfortable with that? Okay, I won't do what I want to do because you're not comfortable with it. This is very, very, very prevalent. It's super common. People do this all the time. They adjust to somebody else's discomfort. And we kind of had this conversation last night where we realized that, you know, one of the pieces of feedback we keep getting from somebody about our wedding is not about the feedback. It's actually because our energy is so much, we are that category of, quote, too much, that this person is really uncomfortable. So they are doing their best to dull our enthusiasm, to turn down our level of vibrancy because they aren't comfortable with it. And once we realized that moment, it was like, oh, cool. All right, well, we're not going to turn it down. We're not going to adjust. We're not even be pissed off that they're trying to do it. We're just going to keep being authentically ourselves. They can choose to engage in it or not. And all of that drama that kept kind of hooking at us, like, are you going to engage with the drama? Are you going to engage with the drama? Just dissipated instantly. I was like, nope. We're going to let that go. We don't have to play with that drama. Now we understood, we got curious instead of being pissed off about it. We got curious about it, like, what's going on here? Yeah, I am big in my power and potency. Yeah, that would annoy somebody that wants everybody on, you know, a muted volume level. That would be very annoying. Am I willing to do that? No. Okay, I'm just going to carry on then. That's where we have a choice. We have lots of choices in that. And to stay curious, not look at their behaviors, not look at their actions, not focus on their words, but get like, whoa, what's going on underneath this? What's happening under here? Are they expressing discomfort? Are they actually revealing how shut down they are themselves? And are you going to put on the cape and save them?
Right.
Sometimes when somebody's coming at us, they're actually playing the villain so that we can engage with them, because once you get in that drama dance, then they can go to, okay, they're playing the drama game. Now I can show how much I really suck, because now that they're in the drama game, they'll be the hero and they'll tell me how awesome I am. So sometimes it's just a trick. It's a screen or a mask that they can change in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, and sometimes, they may not even know that they're doing it, and it's feeding some part of them. It's feeding, quote, unquote, their aliveness in some way, because if they're always that way, and they operate from that mode, they don't know anything different. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. And, you know, sometimes it's not up to us. I think that's kind of part of it, is to be in your power and potency, you realize that you cannot save other people. I said it yesterday. I think we said it the day before. You cannot love somebody enough for them to love themselves. You cannot be alive enough in your vibrancy for somebody else to be alive. No matter how shining you are, they may stand in your sparkle, but it is not theirs. The moment that you move, or the moment they move out of the reflection of your sparkle, they realize the contrast of the darkness they're in. That is only up to them to address. But far too often, many of us allow people who are like, oh, but you're so shiny, it feels so good to be around you, so I'm going to be around you all the time. I'm going to call it love. We're going to date. We're going to get married. So you can keep shining.
No, 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 no.
Yeah. And we fall for it. And we don't have to, you guys. It is a choice. Your aliveness is your job. And if you have found out, or this week, that you are providing aliveness to other people for any reason, I really invite you to apologize for being the hero and get in your own lane. Get in your own lane when it comes to your diamond, your shine. Yeah, you can shine the light, but you cannot make them shine their light. You can hold a flame. You cannot make them light their candle. It just doesn't work that way. And so as we wrap up this particular show about the drama and the sparkle and the energy of attraction, just pay attention. Stay out of judgment, but pay attention. Is the drama because aliveness isn't being expressed authentically? Is the drama that's playing out just simply aliveness going sideways because it needs some way to express, and it's expressing through fear or shame or, you know, anger, sadness, whatever? If that's the case, get curious about what's going on there and your role in it. I know it's hard to stay out of the, you know, enrollment hook of drama sometimes because they want somebody to play with. Sherry, you and I both have that, where people just keep trying to drag us back and back and back to keep engaging in the drama so they can keep that adrenaline going. And it's a choice, and it takes some building of muscles and habits of behavior to stay out of their hook. So
it really does.
That's what I would say. Yeah.
You know, take a breath. If you know you're in that, take a breath. Take a step back. Even, you know, physically take a step back. When you see those hooks coming, those claws coming at you, take a breath and take a step back, because it's so true what you just said, Jen, that's what they know, and that's what they're going to engage with because it feeds an adrenaline, you know?
Yeah.
And to really recognize that.
Yeah, and honestly, to be in a space, like, you are not going to stand in front of somebody who feeds on that adrenaline because they have shut down their aliveness to the point that adrenaline's all they got. You're not going to stand in front of them and go, all right, so here's the deal. You are feeding on adrenaline, and you need to stop, and I'm not going to play your game anymore. I'm going to walk away. That is not going to get the results you want. That is going to engage them. That you've enrolled in your being right. I'm going to tell you what you need to do to fix your life, and you've enrolled in that game, and now they're the victim of you being the villain by you having the audacity to tell them what you think is right. So stay out of that. Anything that you feel right about, get out. Like, I may be right or wrong. I don't know. You can decide for you and let everybody have their own experience. It doesn't matter if you're right. It doesn't matter if in hindsight it's like you were right. It wasn't your damn choice, or it would have been your decision to make. So just be clear. Stay in your own lane. Be gentle. Tomorrow is wrap-up day for this topic, so I hope you'll join me. I'll be back tomorrow. Sherry, thanks for being here, and we got to go now.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Bye.
All right.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. Find out more about Sherry's cranial sacral and massage therapy practice by checking out her website at www.bodywisehealthcare.com. BodyWise is nourishment for the mind, body, and being. If you're part of an organization that could benefit from my dynamic, engaging public speaker for your next live event, or if you'd like to find out more about her programs offered, Jen can be reached at her website, www.jenhalterman.me.